the wise man once said, we heard you missed us.
We're back.
We're back. Welcome, everybody, to David Darren's Top 5 Things. Yes, a review of what got done on our morning show over at Planet939.com and Planet93.9 FM. My name is Dave. The next voice you hear will be my partner, Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hello. Hello, friends. The podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally because they know it is not easy to live with a chronic illness. So they're experienced wellness consultants. They'll sit down with you and discuss your options to figure out what's going to work best to make you feel more comfortable. You can take a look. Frequently asked questions are answered at the website, and that is ntillinois.com.
Number one. Details this morning of a reunion tour. Band that was huge in the 90s getting back together for a tour. Did not see this one coming. I'm referring, of course, to the Wiggles, the original lineup of the Wiggles. They are reuniting for an adults-only arena tour.
Well, you would have to because your original fans are like 40 now, right?
I mean, I guess that's the gimmick. The original lineup of the Wiggles reuniting for a string of adults-only shows.
We're going to finally be able to sell beer.
And drop F-bombs. Tell you kids what we really think. Anthony Field, Murray Cook, Jeff Fatt, and Greg Page, the original Wiggles.
Now, who was Featherbottom?
That was a pirate, right?
A kind of pirate.
That's right. They will be singing their most iconic songs at arenas across Australia. The tour goes from February to May in 2022.
Well, we'll see if it does.
The shows are selling out, man. Recent reunion show sold out an arena in 5 minutes. The original purple Wiggle, Jeff. Did they have different colors? Was that the gimmick?
I'm known as purple.
He says, all of those children who loved the Wiggles in the 90s are now adults who love the nostalgia and fun from that time in their lives.
What about us adults who loved it back then? Yeah. Don't forget us.
All right, it's an adults-only show, but is it possible you can be too old to show up for this?
You're not allowed in.
I was in my 30s when you guys were belting out those tunes. Yeah, I think Featherbottom is a different guy. I don't think he's one of the Wiggles, but he, like, shows up.
He was on the show, though?
Yeah, yeah. The night, it says here, is for the grown-ups, and is a chance to bring back some of that genuine, high-spirited liveliness again. We can't wait to relive those childhood memories and dance the night away to some of the favorite old school tunes. The yellow Wiggle is Greg Page. Worth pointing out, during the last appearance that the group did on stage, he collapsed.
I was going to say, didn't we lose a Wiggle? He didn't die.
We had a Wiggle down. But he says he's looking forward to the gigs.
Okay.
He says, I may have to pull back on the dancing a bit this time around, though.
Well, don't start making excuses.
The show will also feature cameos from, who did you say you were looking forward to?
Is it Featherbottom?
Feather Sword. Captain Feather Sword.
Oh, Captain Feather Sword. Featherbottom was that Mrs. Doubtfire?
I think that was Tobias Fuque's version.
That's right. That's Arrested Development.
Yeah, I think that's an Arrested Development character. Also, Dorothy the Dinosaur, Wags the Dog, Henry the Octopus, and it says there will be support from some pretty cool, like, Australian alternative bands.
Oh, I'm sure Dave Grohl will join them.
Oh, you're probably right. Yeah, these shows are selling out. Wiggles were a big deal in the 90s, yeah?
Now, did they play the Adler?
I'm sure they've been through here at some point. I'm sure the Wiggles have been through here in some iteration.
And if you have their tour shirt, it could be worth something.
It's probably worth a fortune. Do they have set, like, can I look online to see if there's a set list? What did they do?
What was their big song?
The Wiggles?
Yeah.
I'll confess, I know nothing about the Wiggles. I don't know.
Your son came around a little too late.
Yeah. We had no. Apples and Bananas apparently was a big hit for them.
Nice. That makes sense.
Here's a set list. Toot Toot Chugga Chugga Big Red Car. That's one song.
Uh-huh.
Rock-a-bye Your Bear. Say the Dance, Do the Dance. There's a song here called We're Dancing with Wags the Dog. And Let's Go Riding with Ponzo the Pony.
Sure, that's a good idea.
A lot of these Wiggle songs could also be titles for adult films. Joni Works with One Hammer. You could rent that at a hotel if you're on the road and lonely.
This song is just called Sack Lunch.
Five-Fingered Family. Simon Says. Emma's Yellow Bow. Emma's Music Box.
The encore here says, Anus and Andy.
All right, texting happening here. People going crazy that we don't know this. 470-23-NACHO is our text line. Apparently, Fruit Salad.
Fruit Salad was the big song.
Was their big hit. Do they close with Fruit Salad? I'm looking at this set list here. 32 songs.
Oh, boy.
So,
yeah, you probably have a lot. I mean, for the attention span of a little kid,
yeah,
these songs have to be like, what, 45 seconds long, right?
But this is adults only. They're going to tell you your kid can't come in to the show? Like, sorry. Is it like a minimum age? Like, you got to be 18 or older to see the Wiggles all grown up? That seems kind of messed up.
Part of our stage setup is a nude beach.
Yeah, you have to be 18 to get in, it says here. It is their first full-scale tour for 18 and over audiences. This is the third time they've performed together since they broke up in 2012. There's one guy who's never left the group. That would be the Blue Wiggle. He's been doing it since 1991. One of the Wiggles here says, it will be the Wiggles as you remember and love them, but we'll have a bit more gray hair. And there's a bar. We'll be playing all your favorite songs and put on a show you won't forget. You're absolutely right. This is just about selling beer. Hey, kids, remember when your life was full of promise? We're going to sing some songs from that part of your life. And then when you think about where you're at now, go ahead and drown your sorrows.
Belly up to the bar, 30-year-old.
With some Fosters and a big giant drum.
I thought things were going to turn out differently. You said they would in the song.
Uh-huh.
What if everyone just rebels?
They also announced, in addition to the tour, that the Yellow Wiggle is leaving.
Well, he's the one that passed out, right?
No, this is a different one. Emma Watkins, who performed as the Yellow Wiggle since 2010... is leaving the band. Her role will be filled by a 15-year-old who previously joined the group back in August. In a video statement posted on the Wiggles' Instagram, Watkins said, like many people around the world, the pandemic has given me time to reflect on what's important in life.
So you got to be 18 or older to get in, but you've got a performer who's 15.
That doesn't make any sense.
At the bar?
I think the Wiggles is kind of like Menudo. This Emma here, she looks younger. I wonder if they just keep replacing Wiggles with younger people. Because if it was just all the old guys, that would creep people out for a while. Here she is. She's been performing for 11 years, and she says, enough is enough.
After 11 years performing with the Wiggles, and 9 of those years as the Yellow Wiggle, the time has now come for me to pass the yellow skivvy on. Like many people around the world, the pandemic has given me time to reflect on what's important in life. And for me...
And it's not the Wiggles.
I realized after the pandemic was happening, Oh my God, I've been a Wiggle for 11 years.
That I can't change. But what I can change is what happens going forward.
I can't go back and erase the fact that I said yes to being a Wiggle.
I can't change that. I know that. If I could, I would.
Mistakes were made. I am, I'm going to stop this.
Before it goes any further.
So, there's only one original Wiggle that is in the Wiggles that performs for kids. The adult show will have all the original Wiggles. That makes sense?
All right, gotcha. So, there's two troops. There's the kid troop.
Right.
And then there is a...
Right. For weird grown-ups that want to see a show that they should have seen when they were kids.
Number two.
We're right on top of the time of year where we should be getting stories about Halloween decorations being mistaken for actual dead bodies and actual dead bodies being mistaken for Halloween decorations. You can count on it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Sure as you're born, we're going to be getting a story here in the next couple days of a body that was found on the side of the road, and everyone just assumed it was a delightful Halloween decoration, and a Halloween decoration that had people so freaked out they called the cops. There's a story here of a guy who has the largest pumpkin in the United States of America. Guy in Wisconsin grew a 2,520-pound pumpkin.
How much?
2,520 pounds. Believed to be the heaviest grown pumpkin in these United States. It's the size of a couch. A rather large couch. He was so excited about this pumpkin. This is the first time that Mike Schmidt of Marcuson, Wisconsin, has gotten a pumpkin over 2,500 pounds. So excited, he was certain that he had the biggest pumpkin in America. However, the pumpkin was disqualified from competition.
Because?
Due to a crack.
Mm.
There was a little crack in the pumpkin, and that somehow disqualifies it. The crack believed to be the result of internal pressure because the pumpkin was so large and it was growing in a very awkward way.
Think of all the seeds in that thing.
Disqualified from competition due to a fingernail-sized crack on the exterior of the pumpkin.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
That would drive you nuts. Had he won this world championship pumpkin weigh-off, by the way, he had to bring the pumpkin from Wisconsin to California.
Ugh.
So he's bringing this 2,520-pound pumpkin to California to get measured and weighed.
And that's during that road trip.
Right.
Is when I fell in love with the pumpkin.
The pumpkin and I are very happy together. And I told her, it doesn't matter that you didn't win, darling. The crack believed to be, again, the result of internal pressure. The pumpkin, had he won top prize in the 2021 Safeway World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off, you get $9 per pound when you win. So when you have the biggest pumpkin in America, they weigh it, and then they give you $9 a pound. That would have worked out to $22,680.
Huh.
He says he's looking forward to next year already, telling a Milwaukee television station, quote, "It happens. There's no crying in pumpkin growing. I know I can do it again, so we just got to look forward to the future."
I'm looking forward to next year's week on the road with next year's pumpkin.
What I like to do is I take the pumpkin 7 miles out on Lake Michigan.
Oh, it had a crack in it, all right.
I get the pumpkin out into international waters. And then
all bets are off.
Let's just say, not even God can judge me for what I do out there on the lake. The all-time record for a pumpkin grown in the United States of America still goes to one Steve Geddes of Boscawen, New Hampshire, who had a pumpkin in 2018 that came in at 2,520 and 28 pounds.
25, 28's the record.
Uh-huh.
If you're shooting for it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get your pumpkins to be that big?
I think a lot of it has to do with, like, the seed, right?
Well, you would think.
That guy in 2018 won $22,752 for his pumpkin. You know, honestly, this seems like it'd be a fun hobby. Growing, yeah, like, a single pumpkin to be obnoxiously large and then trying to figure out how to turn it into a windfall. Here's the news up there in Milwaukee and how they covered
this. A Wisconsin man grew the heaviest pumpkin in the country this fall, weighing in at 2,520 pounds. However, it's not going in any record books because it was disqualified from competition. James Groh explains what went wrong.
They think that the pumpkin was using steroids. Yeah, I hate her. And you know what? The thing is, the pumpkin got something in the mail called the clear, and then it got another something called the cream. And I would put that on the pumpkin. I had no idea that this was part of that all that Barry Bonds mishigosh. I didn't know.
This is a giant pumpkin. Weighs in at 2,520 pounds.
While this is the heaviest pumpkin in the country, it's not going down in the record books that way. It cracked. But before we get into that, meet the grower.
My name's Mike Schmidt, and I grow giant pumpkins. Pumpkins are like ice cream. Everyone loves them.
What?
What? No, no, no. I think pumpkins are just fine. But how dare you? Keep ice cream out of your mouth, Mike Schmidt.
I probably should get some pumpkin ice cream.
Good call.
Some people say we're crazy, but, you know, we're just people that like to have a little fun out in the dirt.
Mike grew this gargantuan gourd about 30 miles.
Answer the question. Answer the question, Mike Schmidt. Are you crazy?
Our next question is for the pumpkin. Show us on this doll where Mike Schmidt touched you.
It's west of Fond du Lac. It weighs 2,520 pounds.
This pumpkin would have won this year, and so you're looking at a pumpkin that would have been worth $20,000.
But unfortunately, from internal pressures and the awkward...
You're high, Mike Schmidt. Who told you you were going to get $20,000 for that pumpkin? Nobody.
Well, no, that's what he would have got.
Yeah.
$9 a pound.
He made that story up.
The way it was growing, it cracked. That disqualified him from all competitions this year.
Crack was the size of a fingernail. It happens. Okay. There's no crying in pumpkin growing.
Sounds like he needed a pumpkin patch. Mike grew 3 pumpkins this year, and all his pumpkins had similar fates. But there's no time to sulk.
I know I can do it again, so we just got to look forward to the future. And
then just do it
again.
Hopefully next time, the great pumpkin gods spare him, and he can put his name in the record books.
Okay, now we're invoking the name of the great pumpkin and the gods.
Taking a look at some seasonal flavors from Whitey's Ice Cream.
Okay.
You got your banana graham, mm-hmm. So a banana and graham cracker flavored one. Mm-hmm. Be good.
Okay, I don't hate the idea.
Carrot cake.
You know I'm down with that.
You know, yeah. Well, that. What about that for a double dip?
I don't hate that at all.
German chocolate cake. Wonderful. Peppermint cookie and pumpkin.
Just straight pumpkin.
Just straight. We're just right at you.
So it would taste kind of like the pumpkin shake, but it's an ice cream.
Yeah.
Okay, I dig that.
Yeah.
The world record pumpkin. Guy in Italy, Stefano Cutruppi, he grew a pumpkin that weighed in at 2,708 pounds. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to grow a pumpkin that large.
Okay, so that's the world record.
That's the world record. Let's see. The biggest in the UK is 2,433 pounds. Here's one from Belgium. This is something they have, the European Ludwigsburg Championship. Nice size pumpkin from this guy in Belgium, 2,434 pounds.
I know.
Gosh, I think I'd like to do this.
Start doing that.
I think it'd be a good hobby for me.
You want to start growing Carolina Reaper plants?
No, because I wouldn't have any use for that.
Well, you could maybe sell them.
2,700 pounds.
Just don't hurt yourself.
Largest pumpkin in the world. This was at the Big Pumpkin Festival in Pecoli, Italy, earlier this year. That pumpkin will now be taken to the European Championship, which is held in Stuttgart, Germany. They will display it, and then they will weigh it again. Wow. I mean, to grow a pumpkin that big, are you just constantly giving it water?
See how my peppers are starting to turn?
Oh, they are changing colors.
Actually, now some of them are red, so they're essentially ripe.
The record for pumpkins in the state of Iowa, there's a four-person team in Clinton that grew the largest pumpkin in the state of Iowa, and it measured 1,800.5 pounds. Not too shabby. In Illinois, the record is a guy, Gene McMullen from Streeter. His pumpkin, 2,145 pounds. You know how many pumpkins are grown in Illinois? Like, Illinois is the pumpkin capital of America.
You know what Streeter was like? I think this is correct.
Yeah.
What they were known for?
What's that?
First of all, our girl on Brady Street, Tracy, was from Streeter.
I do remember that.
I think they were famous for making lenses for glasses.
In Streeter, is that right?
Yeah, that they were some sort of giant capital of glass lenses.
Illinois produces more pumpkins than any state in our union. In fact, number two on the list is California, and Illinois produces twice as many pumpkins as California. It's not even close. They say if you're having a Thanksgiving pie, the pumpkin in the pumpkin pie is absolutely from Illinois.
What's that?
In Illinois, we grow more pumpkins than anywhere else in the United States. Number two on the list is California, and Illinois grows twice as many pumpkins. And they say the prime ingredient in pumpkin pie, the processed pumpkins that are used for pumpkin pie, without question, no matter where you're listening to us, if you're having a pumpkin pie, that pumpkin in the pumpkin pie came from Illinois. The pumpkin processing industry established 100 years ago in Illinois. Morton, there's a big, big facility down there.
That's right.
And Princeville also, both near Peoria.
Yes.
Pumpkins everywhere down there. They go nuts for them, and as well they should. More pumpkins grown, it takes 120 days from planting to harvest for a pumpkin. You put the seed in the ground, 120 days later, you're pulling that pumpkin out and harvesting it. But how do you get one of these giant monster ones? I think this is my hobby next year, Darren. I think this is what I'm doing for fun. I think I'm going to grow an obnoxiously large, because the record for Iowa is 1,800 pounds. Now, it took four guys to grow it. It's a team of guys up in Clinton that grew that giant pumpkin. I don't know. I got to learn the tricks. Maybe that could be my legacy.
Are they trying to say that Streeter is not only, it's like the glass capital of the world?
Really?
Once proclaimed. Today, one of these glass production facilities is still in business, producing more volume than ever before, but with less than one-tenth the original workforce due to automation.
So glasses used to be made in high quantities there in Streeter, Illinois. I had no idea.
Well, not just, it sounds to me, maybe it wasn't necessarily eyeglasses, just glass.
Oh, really? No idea. We need to take a break. We're coming
back.
Don't
act like you don't know it now.
Number three.
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 Got one of these, am I the jerk here? Am I in the wrong? Somebody has a situation. This is with a cousin. And they're wondering if they made a mistake, if they are somehow to blame for what happened. And more often than not, when we read these stories, we always like to preface it by saying people who are truly monsters, people who are actual jerks, don't have that muscle in their brain that tells them, hey, you may be wrong, right? So it seems like more often than not, when we share these people are not jerks. But they've been put in a situation where they wonder, like, maybe it's because it's just so messed up. They think, wait a minute, am I in the wrong here?
Mm-hmm.
This is a 19-year-old female who has a 22-year-old male cousin, okay? She says, so I and my cousin were hanging out last Friday. We were just chatting away while eating some nachos. And I bring up how you can fit a light bulb into your mouth, but you can't take it out. He just says, huh, and we continue talking. Well, I guess he didn't believe me because he tried it on Tuesday night. From what I could gather from his story, he started yelling, and his mother, who's my aunt, came upstairs to check on him. And when she saw that there wasn't a way to get the light bulb out, she took him to the emergency room. I'm not sure how, but they were able to get the light bulb out without hurting him.
Bright idea.
Well, he called me up yesterday, and he was mad. He said if I didn't say anything, then he never would have tried the light bulb thing.
Yeah, but what did I say?
I thought it was total BS and started arguing back that he made a stupid decision and that wasn't on me. Well, my aunt was in the same room, and he gave her the phone to talk to me. And she explained that while it might have been his decision, I still opened the door for it to happen. She compared it to someone leaving a drug on the counter and how it's both the person who laid the drug down and the person who used it. The analogy made sense, and I really feel guilty now. However, I'm torn on whether or not I'm the jerk here. I feel like I'm just being stubborn, and I'm not even sure really what to think. You're right. You mentioned that if you do this, you can't get it out.
Right.
It's not like...
Is your cousin always doing dumb things? If that's the case, then maybe you don't bring it up. Did you know that he was going to try it?
We didn't try it
right
away.
Were you malicious?
This is my favorite part is he didn't do it right then and there. He waited a couple days. Like, it must have been just driving him crazy. Like,
I wonder if that's true.
That's all I can think about. Do I put that light bulb in my mouth? No, I'll sleep on it. I'll make a decision. Because they talked about it on Friday. It was the following Tuesday he went ahead and did this.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been all he could think about.
But do you have an inkling that he was going to try this? Did you know he was going to try it?
I don't think that she knew that that was going to happen. Is that a thing, though? The glass and filament bulbs are made with very thin glass and have a vacuum. So you can't get it out?
I'm just going to...
That's an urban legend, right? That's not real.
That's fine. I'm not going to find out.
Well, now I kind of want to find out.
You go right ahead. Do it after the show.
You're telling me that if you put a light bulb in your mouth, which end...
If you can get it in your mouth.
So do you put
a decent... A light bulb's a decent-sized thing to get in your mouth.
Which end do I put in first?
Well, I would have to imagine it's the large end. The little end you're going to be able to get out.
So if you put a light bulb in your mouth,
yeah,
you couldn't... Okay, because it's easier to go in than to come out? Is that how that works?
Well, they're saying that a vacuum is created.
It feels like it's trapped behind your teeth. If you can open your mouth wide enough to put it in there, you can get it out again, you would think. But the problem is people panic, and it becomes difficult to remove.
Well, then try it.
And you end up pulling it out too quick, and you break the light bulb with your teeth, and now you've got a mouthful of broken glass. All right, to be very clear here, I want to be very clear. No one should do this under any circumstances. Do not, under any circumstances, put a light bulb in your mouth.
No, because Dave's going to do it, and he'll be the guinea pig.
I would think it'd be easy enough to take it out.
All right, careful.
The bulb's shape allows it to easily be put in the mouth, but taking it out is problematic.
I believe that.
I don't know that I do. I don't think this is something anyone... Oh, look, here's an x-ray somebody took with it stuck in their mouth.
Yep, that's what it would look like,
oh,
all right.
Oh, no.
That's what it would look like.
Oh, no. So this is an urban legend. Do not... Somebody asks here, could you light up the bulb with your mouth?
What?
When I was in second grade, we had a magician come to our school to do an assembly. And I remember thinking, this is the greatest. They're doing a magic show here in the cafeteria. And this guy...
Who do you think you are, Uncle Fester?
His trick... Yeah, he did the Uncle Fester trick. And now that I think about it, that was probably a terrible trick to do in front of a bunch of little kids.
It's a prop.
Well, then...
It's not even a trick.
This is the worst part, though. This guy does a couple of tricks, and we're all going out of our minds.
Sure.
And then it turns into a sales pitch.
Yeah.
And how we need to go out there and sell candy bars. Like, the whole thing was just to get us all wound up to go and sell stuff door to door.
That's right.
And I remember at the time feeling, like, so manipulated.
I think I just got used.
Right. Like, this was never about a magic show to begin with.
No.
The whole reason this magician is here is to get us to go out there and sell grit or candy bars or whatever it was. You know, the world's finest candy bars sent Zuzu the magician here to my...
They knew magic was my weakness.
They knew exactly. To the point where I went home with all the pamphlets and I said, I'm not doing this. Because I don't like being set up like this. I remember having this discussion. The year is 1978, and I'm having this discussion saying, under no circumstances am I selling candy bar one. If they would have just said, hey, we need you kids to sell some candy bars, that would have been one thing. But to do it under the guise of magic.
Did they ever give you the candy bars?
I think you were supposed to sell like two boxes of it.
But I'm saying, did you ever take possession of the candy bars?
No, that part I don't remember. I don't remember that part. Maybe.
Did you eat the candy bars?
Well, no, because they had almonds in them.
Oh.
And,
well, God forbid.
I'm not too... I think I tried one and it was like, oh, there's nuts in this. So not only did that magician come
now all of a sudden,
and lie right to my face, now they're putting nuts in candy bars?
Now all of a sudden you remember that you did have the candy bars.
Yeah, because I remember thinking, well, at least I got a candy bar. And then when I ripped it open, it was like, oh, gross. There's almonds in this? No, this isn't going to work. And then this guy was like, you know, he had like this catalog, like if you sell this many candy bars,
you get this light bulb.
You'll get a whoopee cushion. And if you sell, yeah, I think the light bulb magic trick might have been something that you could have, like, if you sold a...
How do you like this?
100 of them.
How'd you like to do this for your friends?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't this make you the star of every gathering you go to? Yeah, boy, I was furious. I just remember thinking when this guy was doing the pitch, now you boys and girls can do your own magic door to door.
What?
And I'm like, hell yes. He's like, by selling these world's finest candy bars.
Wait a minute.
This is HS. I'm not going along with this. I thought what we had here was something magical, and you're making it about some sort of transaction? Well, these world's finest candy bars...
You mean some sort of sleight of hand?
No, this isn't okay. With the world's finest candy bars, you kids are going to be making a lot of money for your school.
This is like an illusion.
Yeah, like money for the school? That's the last place that needs money is this place. What, so they can keep me here longer? You know, boys and girls, some people call it fundraising. Zuzu the magician calls it fundraising. I'm like, I hate you so much, Zuzu the magician. Don't take what was going to be a fun activity. I thought, instead of having to do penmanship, I was going to sit here and be delighted by a whimsical magic show.
How much?
And now you've made it into something gross and commercial.
How much for your used light bulb?
How many candy bars would I have to sell to get that one that you use? That's all.
I want the one that you had in your mouth.
But see, Uncle Fester puts the light bulb in the other way.
Yeah, to light it up.
Right.
The connection part of the light bulb.
If he did it the way this dummy did it, then the light bulb would start to burn your tongue. Not only can you not get it out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Uncle Fester even knows you don't do this.
Right. Not only are you not getting that light bulb out of your mouth, but now you're getting burns on your tongue.
Well, yeah, if you just screwed it out and if it's already been on.
Well, I didn't know. Why would I use a 125-watt bulb? I didn't think this all the way through. God, now I'm mad again over something that happened 40 years ago. I gotta let it go. But I won't. I hold grudges. It's not healthy, but that's who I am.
Number four.
I want to give it up for today's Florida man because this guy had a plan, right? A lot of times.
Florida.
A lot of times our Florida man is just kind of throwing himself to the whims of chance. This guy had a plan. He calls an EMT crew complaining of shortness of breath. Right? He then gets in the ambulance once they show up. He takes off all his clothes and just starts going to town on himself. Got fully naked in the rear of the ambulance and began masturbating in the presence of the first responders. The police say the suspect wore a condom and was using an ice pack while pleasuring himself.
A lot of moving parts.
I go at it. The ice pack is, well, it'll all make sense in context. Just watch me now. Terry Majors, who's 30 years old, called 911 last Thursday. It was in the middle of the afternoon. He wanted medical assistance. But once he got inside the ambulance, Majors removed his clothes and began masturbating, according to this misdemeanor criminal complaint. Wearing a condom at the time. I don't want to get anyone in this ambulance pregnant when I do this to myself.
I used to be a scout, and you know... you know our motto.
Majors was wearing a condom at the time and was looking at EMTs that were trying to treat him while he was pleasuring himself. At some point, as the ambulance traveled throughout St. Petersburg, Majors asked for an ice pack, which he then proceeded to fold up and use as part of his magic act, while en route to the hospital. The first responders...
And they just gladly gave him one?
Sure, here you go.
Here, whatever.
First responders would like to prosecute now. Charged with exposure of sexual organs, which is a misdemeanor, booked into county lineup. He was let go on Friday morning of his own recognizance. This is
you know, when they charge you for those ice packs, they're probably...
Oh, yeah, it's not cheap.
It's not cheap. It's not...
You.
The ambulance ride isn't going to be cheap.
No.
The ice pack is probably, what, $30, $40? This is all starting to add up real fast.
The door is open, but the ride ain't free.
No.
just going to town. Can you come get me? I'm experiencing shortness of breath.
I thought my Aflac would cover this. Is that not accurate?
Wait a minute. $45 for an ice pack? Well, that seems...
That's outrageous.
But I wore a condom and I still have to pay that kind of money? Why was I wearing a condom if you're going to charge me for the ice pack?
That's my question, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I would like to press charges. This is highway robbery. I was on the highway in the ambulance when they did this to me. No further questions.
Yes, I would like to countersue.
Where's Doug Llewellyn? Where do I fill out my paperwork?
Where is Doug Llewellyn? I've got something I think you might like to see.
I'm going to do what I know Doug Llewellyn warned against this, but I'm going to, as he says, take the law into my own hands. In the presence of the first responders... Why not just say, okay, that's it. You're out of here. If it were me.
Yeah, why don't they just...
If I were the EMT, I'd go, all right, get out. You're fine.
Or why don't they just pick up speed and then just cut the gurney loose?
So he's just rolling on his back on the highway?
Yeah.
Just him and his ice pack? And whoever happens to be on the freeway at that time?
Just to find a hill and cut him loose.
Your Honor, I was wearing a condom. I don't see what the big deal is. Fully naked? How am I fully naked and wearing a condom? It doesn't make sense, Your Honor.
And now, Your Honor, I would like to offer into evidence the safety dance. By men without hats.
Your Honor, I'd like to use the rest of the time allotted for my testimony to go over there and hump that American flag. And if I'm guilty of anything, it's loving this country too much. And ice packs. I have some shortness of breath, as you can see, caused by how excited I am to make love to this ice pack in the back of an ambulance while the EMT people are forced to watch. I would just say that's it. You don't get to ride with us anymore, man. Just wherever we are. Of course, you can't do that, I guess. If somebody is complaining of shortness of breath, you can't just drop them off, probably, right? It's probably frowned upon in the EMT community. Get out. Get out.
I have the inkling, Your Honor, that I just bought that flag as well.
Your Honor, if it please the court, I would like everyone here in attendance to note I am wearing a condom for this. So if you think you're going to charge me $115 for this flag, think again. Now, where was I? Come here, you.
Number five.
The James Dyson Awards. Are you familiar?
No.
I wasn't either. Apparently, the James Dyson Awards.
Food?
No. Dyson, think vacuum cleaners.
Oh, vacuums.
Right? It's a competition, international competition, to find the very latest and greatest new inventions.
Find me one that works, and I'm all about it.
Well, it's not just inventions for the world of vacuum cleaning. It's just overall, like, where new inventors take their creations. And they've narrowed down the 20 best entrants across the globe. Like, each country has its own James Dyson Award, apparently. And then the engineer and inventor James Dyson will hand-pick the winner. That'll happen next month. I'm looking here at a lot of these new inventions. A lot of them have to deal with helping people who are differently abled, right? Lots of different innovations in wheelchairs and prosthetics. There's one here. It's a set of cutlery for people who are visually impaired. Like, you'll know by grabbing the handle if you have a fork, a knife, or a spoon.
Sure.
I guess that never occurred to me that you don't want to go in thinking you're grabbing a spoon and it's a knife if you can't see. But then there's like the Ellie skate, like electronic ice skates, or something called Road Fix, which looks like a way to fix potholes that is like super easy.
Okay.
There's something here called the Life Box, an active heart preservation container for extending out of body viable time during transport for transplant. So, you know, when you're doing you're moving a heart around, they figured out a way to keep the heart viable for a longer period.
Better than just
time.
A cooler.
Right.
An igloo cooler.
Uh-huh. One of the things that's up for this national or international award is something called Water Pod, a sustainable desalination pod that turns seawater into drinkable water naturally. That's pretty cool. There's a new incubator that someone has come up with. A lot of really cool ideas and invention. The AgriDrone, which is a drone that will continuously monitor crops. And if it notices, like, it'll hover over the soil, and if it notices that there's some nutrient deficiency in the soil, it'll instantly employ another drone to come and put the nutrients in the ground that the crops need. But the award that I'm most excited about, or the invention that has me the most interested, is the one that comes to us from Germany. It's a testicle bath. A bath for your testicles. And the idea is you take a testicle bath in this invention, and it's a birth control device. It's an ultrasound testicle bath. So they just zap your boys with ultrasound, and then it quiets down all the activity there so that you can... You don't have to worry about getting somebody pregnant.
See, I was a little confused. I thought we already had a testicle bath. It's called a sink.
Rebecca Weiss is an industrial design graduate from the University of Munich, and she's the inventor of this male birth control device. She came up with the idea after dealing with cervical cancer that she got as a result of taking oral contraceptive pills. So she was on the pill. The pill gave her cervical cancer, and she thought, well, hang on a second. If I can't take the pill, why does it all got to be on me? What kind of male birth control is there? She says, when my partner and I were looking for an alternative method, we became aware of the lack of male contraceptives. The problem is not unique to me personally. It affects many others as well, and is made evident in the current growing public discussion about the lack of contraceptive alternatives. So she invented this new contraceptive approach. And the idea is that, yeah.
So it's just, like
you go in there.
Like an egg carton or something?
Well, I mean, it just looks like a bowl. Like a little electric bowl.
Like a bowl of ice?
And you No, although that would kind of do the trick too. It's called the COSO. And the COSO uses an ultrasound testicle bath to temporarily stop your sperm's mobility. They don't move around at all, which is what they need to do in order to find the egg. The device only needs to be used every few months to keep the sperm inert and prevent eggs from being fertilized during sex. So every couple of months you go.
And just stun them.
You get zapped. And I can't imagine that it would hurt, right? It's just ultrasound. You just go and you dip them in there. You dip them in the ultrasound and then you're good to go.
So not really a bath.
Well, no. No, you're not getting clean in a conventional way. But you are bathing that part of your body in ultrasound. You're right. It's
kind of like an ultrasonic kick in the crotch.
Yeah, but it doesn't hurt, I wouldn't think. It
doesn't kill the sperm.
No, it just
just stuns them.
They can't move.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what has me confused is I would think that you'd have to have this done like every day. Like, aren't you constantly making new stuff? But apparently, no. You can just kind of zap them and you're good for a couple of months. Go get your testicle bath and you're fine. By the way, Testicle Bath, probably my favorite Deftones album. If I had to pick one. Yeah, that was the winner of the James Dyson Award for Germany. Now, will it win the... look at that. It's really more of a like a cup than a bowl.
It looks like one of your smart speakers. You could probably almost... What are you doing? What are you doing to that dot over there? Just laying these here.
You put water in the device up to the indicated mark.
Okay, so you do actually have a liquid in it.
Uh-huh. The user puts water up to the indicated mark. So it's a lot like I have one of these things where I can make macaroni and cheese in my microwave. It seems like it's kind of like that, almost exactly like that. You put water into the device up to the indicated mark, which is set together with a doctor according to individual testicle size. So you have to go and get your testicles measured, apparently. Then the water is heated up to operating temperature. COSO is now ready for ultrasound treatment. The user spreads his legs and sits down to place the testicles in the device. The ultrasound process continues for a few minutes. The remaining time can be monitored in real time via the COSO app. After the treatment, the device switches off automatically. Technology of the COSO is based on a study of the Parmesis Foundation, in which successful research was conducted on ultrasound contraception. So far, the procedure has been applied to animals. Therefore, the technical parameters are hypothetically transferred to humans. So they were getting, like, monkeys to dip in there and figure this stuff out?
The thing is, you don't want it to be hypothetically working.
Right.
You don't want it to be hypothetically effective.
You're pregnant.
What? Wait a minute.
But I dipped my testicles in a digital bath for you.
Yeah, and I put them in that coffee cup and hit the microwave.
Can't be mine. That doesn't make a lick of sense. Well, she's up for the potentially the big, big award from the people at the James Dyson Award. We'll keep you posted on how she does.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, I'm sad to report that's it for this edition of Dave and Darren's Top
what
5
a
Things.
Bummer.
Well, the good news is there'll be more. We're not done.
We'll make more.
Crunch all you want. Cool Ranch Doritos. Hey, you seen these? You seen these Cool Ranch Doritos? Joey Lawrence is our guest. That's it for this installment. Thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois for making it possible.
Yeah, they are the sponsor, and they have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan and Galesburg, both locations now open 7 days a week. Recreational waiting lists are available. Reserve your time at the website. That's ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
It's over, Johnny. It's over. Nothing is over. Nothing.
You just don't turn it off.